Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now we'll begin a 2018 series here on The Brian Lehrer Show on democracy and extremism, country by country. Now, since we can't look at every country on Earth in one year, we will peg this to the countries that are having major elections or changes in their system of government this year. We have Russian elections coming up, Mexican elections coming up, Egyptian presidential elections, Pakistani presidential elections, and others all this year. And for example, we will start this week with Italy and China. China, of course, is not a democracy, but it has had presidential term limits and a kind of collaborative system involving a group of elites choosing its next leader. That's not the same as an individual strongman like Fidel Castro or Assad in Syria or Kim Jong-un just declaring themselves in charge forever because they control the military. Until now, President Xi Jinping seems to be setting up something more like one-man rule. They've had this committee system until now. Likely to be ratified this week is one-man rule or president for life. So we will ask later in the week what that means for the world when the country rivaling the United States for global leadership and economic domination moves in that direction. So democracy and extremism, country by country. We will begin the series right now with the election results over the weekend in Italy. Who cares about Italy, you ask? Well, it seems to be going the way of some Eastern European countries like Hungary and Poland and the Trump faction in the United States. So let's talk now to Beppe Severnini, editor-in-chief of the Italian magazine called Seven, a publication of the Milan-based newspaper there, Corriere della Sera. He is also a contributing opinion writer for the New York Times when events warrant, and events warranted today. His piece is called At the Polls, La Dolce Vita Yields to Anger. Beppe, we really appreciate your time. Welcome back to The Brian Lehrer Show.
It's lovely to be back. And to answer your question, who cares about Italy? I do, Brian. I do.
Of course you do. And La Dolce Vita translates as The Sweet Life. Some people also know it as a Fellini film about a gossip columnist. But you ask, has La Dolce Vita, The Sweet Life, turned bitter? Why that question that way?
Well, if you put together the votes of the Five Star Movement, which is basically a protest movement, and they polled 33%, and the votes that went to the League, formerly Northern League, now just the League, that's 17%. They are both sort of definitely sort of a harsh protest movement. 33 and 17, that makes 50. That 50 means half of Italy voted for anti-establishment, let's put it this way, parties, which is a little worrying.
So judging by these election results, half of Italy, right, thinks immigration is a bad thing, the European Union is a lousy deal, Donald Trump is an example of leadership, and Vladimir Putin is a good man. Wow. Can you get into the Trump piece of that? Half of Italians think Trump is an example of leadership. In what ways?
Well, it's simple. Well, thank you for reading the lead of my piece. That's exactly what I wrote in the New York Times. Exactly. Well, it's not my opinion. I've been on television with the leader of the two parties, with Luigi Di Maio, a very young leader from Naples, from the Five Star Movement. He's a candidate prime minister. He's 31. And I've been on television with the leader of the League. That's Matteo Salvini. He's from Milan. He's 43. So, and I talked about Trump to both of them, and they actually wrote and said and stressed and repeated to me in front of a television camera. They think Trump is a good idea. They understand perfectly well why the Americans decided to have Trump as a president, and so on and so forth. So they're not hiding it. They think he's a strong leader. That's what you need. America first. You know, the League even had Italian first, which I think Trump should, defend his copyright.
Italy first. They stole the phrase or adapted it. Now, listeners, if you are from Italy or in Italy listening right now. We've had calls from other countries. I don't think ever from Italy yet. But if you're listening in Rome or Milan or wherever you are, or just if you're here and you have any connection to Italy, we invite you to call in with what you think the election results mean and with any thoughts you have on the state of democracy and extremism, even more broadly, as reflected in these Italian results. If you are from or have a connection to Italy, you're invited at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, with Beppe Sevenini, editor-in-chief of the Italian magazine Seven. Beppe, David Leonhardt's New York Times column, quote, someone saying, while we were sleeping, Putin won the Italian election. Do you find any truth in that?
No, I don't think. I think it's we were all worried about it. In fact, in the New York Times, I wrote once or maybe twice about this danger because, as we know, and you know very well, Putin interfered in the Russia interfered with the American election. They did interfere. We don't know how much with the Brexit referendum. They did try to interfere in Germany and in France in 2017. In Italy, because we came, you know, we knew all that. Quite a few people, including me, said and wrote several times, don't do it, be careful. So there have been a lot of sort of alarm raised about it. So to be honest, I don't think Russia had anything to do with this election. And even if they did try to play with sort of fake news thing, when you have that kind of majority, honestly, you have 33%, 17%, half of the country voting for protest party, you cannot say. No, honestly, I don't think it's the case.
But you did,
sure.
But you did write that half of Italian voters, based on these election results, think Putin is a good man. How is Putin even relevant to their thinking process?
Well, first of all, as you know, Italy is closer to Russia than you are, our former Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi, who lost actually in this time around, he lost. He went back as a kind of avuncular figure but he lost the election. But Silvio Berlusconi is a good friend of Vladimir Putin, and the two leaders, so Di Maio for the five-star and Salvini for the League, they again expressed their idea about Putin and said that he's a strong leader and Italy needs strong leadership. He defends Europe, he's tough with the Muslim and terrorism and so on and so forth. So it's not my opinion. They actually said so.
John in Union City, you're on WNYC. Hi, John.
Hello, Brian. Good afternoon. How are you?
Okay, thank you.
My father was born in Italy, came here in 1970. We will go back. He has three brothers, five sisters there. They're in Naples, Italy, Cavalieri. And my cousins there, I understand why the Italians are speaking like this. My cousins there are still making, this is in southern Italy, in Naples, $200 a week. They have decent jobs, painters, telephone operators. They cannot buy a home. They have to move back with their parents, live with their parents, have their families in their parents' basements, and unfortunately wait for their parents to, you know, pass away or become elderly till they can take over the home. Some of my cousin just visited us from Italy this summer. He told me he did $5,000 worth of painting for a contractor. The contractor never paid him. There's no. And I asked him, why didn't you go to court? He said, there's no means to get this money. I just didn't get the money.
Who do they blame for this state of affairs? And did they cast a vote in this election that indicates where they think the solution lies?
I have not spoken to them about that. After listening to the show today, I'm going to Facebook their messages and find out, but they do blame the government a lot. I remember a friend telling me years ago that the government wouldn't pay the taxes, so the government started taxing their gasoline. That was the only way for them to get tax money from the Italians because they had given up. They say, you're not going to help us. We are not going to pay our taxes. They just wouldn't pay, and you had a million southern Neapolitans not paying their taxes, so they would tax their gasoline to get the money that way. From what I know from my cousins, it's a big back and forth between them and the government.
John, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. So, Beppe, what can we learn, bigger picture, from the story John tells?
Well, we did learn something, and John has been pretty accurate. I mean, as an Italian, I think he's well informed. Just one thing, he mentioned, I think, 2,000 a week. I think we're talking, he meant 2,000 a month, because that's the, what someone were a painter like would make in Italy, you know, or a plumber or something, 2,000 a month if he's lucky. And the thing about him.
Whoops. Did we lose Beppe's
he's
line?
He's right.
Sorry, what was that last thing you said?
No, the last thing I said is that the problem of you invoice someone and this person doesn't pay you,
yes.
There are European rules about that. You have to pay people within a month, 30 days, and it doesn't happen. One thing is important in what John said. He pointed out something very important. The whole of the Italian South, the whole, so the bottom half of the country, you know, the Italian boot, mm-hmm. voted for the five-star movement. The top northern part, where I'm at in Corriere, in Milan, so in the north, wealthier part, they voted for the League. Why? Because the League stresses about bureaucracy and immigration a lot. You know, they pretend, because I don't think it's a case, that we've been invaded and people feel unsafe. And so that's what happens in the north, and the votes went to the Northern League, to the League. In the south is exactly what John explained to us. People have no money, no jobs, sometimes they don't get paid, and they are poor. Read my piece in the New York Times. You find it online. You put my name in the New York Times. You find it immediately. And you can see I give a lot of numbers. I don't want to do it now on the radio.
Right.
But it's obviously southern Italy's got a problem. They're poor.
And where, you mentioned immigration, does immigration fit in? If, as you write, half the voters think immigration is a bad thing, who's coming into Italy now and what kinds of numbers and where is the backlash coming from?
Well, the people are coming mostly from Africa nowadays. They cross the sea from Libya. Libya is a very sad state of affairs, as you well know in America. Libya is a kind of not a failed state, but almost. So there are prison camps where people from sub-Saharan Africa come. They take the sort of dinghies or the boats of any kind. They cross the sea like 40, 50, 80 miles. Some of them, unfortunately, lose their lives in the crossing. Most of them make it to Italy, and they're rescued by the Italian Navy, and they're taken to Italy, and you're talking about a lot of people. You're talking about, I don't know the number exactly now by heart, but like, I think last year was a few hundred thousand. Italy's a big country, 60 million, so we can actually absorb like 300,000 newcomers.
Mm-hmm.
There are jobs. Italy is a country which is aging fast. The problem is it's so mismanaged. You walk around Milan, you walk around an Italian city, and you see young African men doing nothing and begging for money. How the government had to find a way to give them, you know, even a temporary job, because every single one of them made people, you know, people in the street, they feel unsafe, some of them get involved in petty crimes, and that's the sort of thing that a wise government should have avoided. They didn't, they lost the election.
Massimo in Washington Heights, you're on WNYC. Hello, Massimo.
Yes, good morning. I beg to disagree a little bit with the representation that your guest is giving of the similarity between Movimento 5 Stelle and Lega North. These two parties have a completely different approach towards immigration, number one, where Lega North basically wants to kick out all of the immigrants, whether MFICE, the Movimento 5 Stelle, is trying to have the European Union to take the right responsibility towards this problem, which the European community keep giving lip service to this, but it's really doing nothing about it. The second issue is that the difference between Movimento 5 Stelle and Lega North is that Lega North is actually a separatist movement who's trying to separate the north of Italy from the rest of Italy. after they exploited the south of Italy and enriched themselves on their back. Now they want to separate because, you know, the south consequentially is poor, while the Movimento Cinque Stelle is actually trying to get rid of the kleptocracy of this politicians by profession and by heritage. We have a third generation politicians in Italy. They are there because they are the sons and the grandsons of those politicians who were elected right after World War II. So it's a very big disservice to compare the two of them and even say that they are the same thing or the same people vote for them. The Lega Nord is supported more by people who are nostalgic of fascism, while the people that are supporting Movimento Cinque Stelle, they're more likely to be on either side of the spectrum, political spectrum. There are people from the center, from the left, from the right. They all have the same point of view. We should get rid of professional politicians. And in fact, they are suggesting, and they are applying to themselves, term limit. They're cutting their own pay. They're trying to remove this class of thieves from the politics of Italy.
Massimo,
so how can you say that they are the same?
Look, before we get a response, I'm curious to have you go even one level deeper on this, because you're portraying the five-star party, the movement in the South, as kind of a good government, let's, you know, clean up the system kind of movement. And yet many articles that I've seen since the election frame the result not just as a trend toward throwing out the old bums, but also as a turning away from democratic values themselves and toward autocracy or authoritarianism as the way policy should be made. How much do you see it that way, or might even like that yourself as a better way to run the country?
Yeah. How could they possibly say that? This is a party where they are self-imposing term limit. In other words, you cannot run for the Movimento Cinque Stelle unless you sign a contract where you say you will only serve for two terms. How can they say that when they, in the south of Italy, like in Sicily or in the south of Italy, they cut their own pay and the money, because they cannot refuse the money, otherwise everybody else will be forced to, they take the pay and they take part of their pay and they put it into communal pools of money that they're using for ground-up starting companies where there is most need, in Sicily and in Campania.
And Massimo, I'm going to leave it there because we're going to run out of time in the show soon. So Beppe, I want to give you a chance to respond to him. And on the larger question, does democracy itself go out in the bathwater to any degree along with the old policies that, ironically, the voters use democratic elections here to change?
Well, first of all, let me answer Mario. I mean, he likes Movimento Cinque Stelle, and it was like a campaign speech. I thought the campaign was over. Obviously, after voting, I had to hear a campaign speech again. There are so many inaccuracies in what he said, I don't know where to start.
We have just 2 minutes of things. In the show.
Very, very quickly, the League is not separatist anymore, number one. The five-star movement, they try to run Rome, not too successfully. But to be honest, so our American listeners should not worry. I didn't say that either of them plan or will change Italian democracy. I didn't vote for them, as you may have gathered, but I do think that they must be given a chance to try. They are different from some sort of extremist group in Northern Europe. They are the Italian version of it. We'll see what they'll do. But to be honest, not all the time the new ones are better than the old ones. One thing, they know, especially the League, the leader, Matteo Salvini, he's been an EuroMP, he's been around. He has a decent idea I disagree with him about many things, but sometimes when I hear him speak, compared to your president, is Eisenhower.
And on that piece of international wisdom, since we can't top that, we will leave it there with Beppe Severnini, editor-in-chief of the Italian magazine called Seven, and a contributing opinion writer for the New York Times. He's got a piece on the website now called At the Polls, La Dolce Vita Yields to Anger. Beppe, thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.